discovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Emotionally peaking, all biorhythms in sync, aligned with Jupiter and Mars, formerly with Pluto, till Pluto got the boot from the solar system. A whole bunch of astronomers got together and took a vote. Said, nah, it's just a big rock. In the scheme of the universe, all the planets are big rocks. Except maybe Jupiter, which is all just gas. A lot of gas coming out of Jupiter, which is kind of similar to what comes out of my mouth here on the radio program. Nevertheless, delighted to have you with me on The Doctor Is In. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Program here, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Today is Look Back Friday, where we take previous calls, and then we rerun parts of them. They're edited for succinctness, not taciturn. They are edited for brevity. And then there is a reason why they are taken up again on Look Back Friday. The reasons I have proposed in the past are that I want to help the caller more, and I didn't have enough time first time around. I want to offer a broader view of the particular question, situation, circumstances the caller is asking about. I want to help out more, given what they asked, and I sense there was another matter underneath it. None of those are really it. I mean, to get blunt about this whole thing, I didn't have enough time to talk first time around. I wanted to hear more of me. Okay, let's just be straight about this. I could offer all kinds of altruistic explanations on why I wanted to rerun some of those calls and then add to them. But no, it just comes right down to I've got more words to say. And you have to understand something. Well, you don't have to understand anything. I hate when I do that. I raised five girls. Five boys also, but five girls. There were months. There were whole months when I didn't get to speak a sentence. Whole months. Now, I'm making up for lost time. I want to say stuff. And I know that if I look at the demographics of my listening audience, it is more female than male. So in a way, this is some kind of retribution on my part. I am more or less saying, as long as you have the radio on, you have to listen. And I get to talk. And there's more I want to say. So, in a sense, this all goes back to my parenthood. Little moment of honest, critical self-scrutiny. Got the holidays coming up pretty soon. Matter of fact, Thanksgiving's not all that far off. Those of you who have adult children who are married, therefore they have spouses, not to be redundant about this whole thing. They have children, too. You have their grandchildren. Now, the holiday tango, the holiday dance, is coming up. Who do they visit? Do they visit you? Do they visit the other side? How much time do they give you? How much time do they give the other side? You're suspicious. You're starting to think, wait a minute. Now, my daughter-in-law, last year, She was at her parents' house for Thanksgiving dinner, and they came over here around 6 o'clock at night. We had already eaten, have a little bit of pumpkin pie. We get the pumpkin pie visit. Okay. Well, then Christmas Eve, they were there, and they came over our house on Christmas morning till noon. And then they left and spent the rest of the day there. Now, not that I'm keeping track, but I'm keeping track. We got 3.621579 hours at our house with them and the grandkids. And the other side got 9.742561 hours. I suppose I don't mind that, but it's feeling like it's going to happen again this year. I'm going to have to speak up. I wouldn't do that. But Dr. Ray, I mean, my son won't even. It's irrelevant. You don't win by basically making someone, if you will, emotionally making them make sure you get your fair share. But I want to see my grandkids. How am I supposed to have a relationship with my grandkids if I am denied the fair amount of time with them? Well, hopefully that's not the case all year long. But you don't really win in most cases. You're basically in a situation where you have to kind of quietly allow it. What good does it do you to force the matter? I suppose you could push it, and under certain circumstances, you'd get a couple more hours. But if it's not a voluntary couple more hours, how do you win? My suggestion? For the most part, accept the time that you get. I've got a grandparent book coming out sometime between now and 2045. That's one of the questions in it. What do we do about the division of time over the holidays that seems quite inequitable to me? It doesn't seem right. Well, you're in a position to have to kind of accept it. Dr. Ray, it's not fair. It's just not fair. I mean, I can understand dividing it up. I got that. But it seems like every year we get shortchanged. Well, if that is the case, then every year you are getting shortchanged. I suppose you have a close relationship with your son or your daughter or whomever it might be. You can sit down and you can tell them, gee, we sure do miss you at the holidays. Sure would love to see you more. I suppose you could do that. Depends on the relationship. But if it's clear that they're generally going to divide up time the way they want up time, you don't gain much by bringing it to light. Okay, Dr. Ray, then just let them step all over you. Let them do what they want. Don't say anything about it. Just be a doormat, a Christmas Eve doormat. You're not being that. You're essentially not battling it out. You don't know if the other side is giving them grief and guilt. You don't know that. Is the other side doing that to them? Is the other side pushing harder on them to get more time on the holidays? I told my mom, I said, look, all I want really is Halloween. Visit me on Halloween. Give me the rest of the candy that you didn't give the other kids. I'm happy. Some people don't look at it that way. So, okay. It may be that they're getting a lot more pressure from the other direction, and they're yielding to some of that pressure to keep the peace. It may be that your in-law has got some kind of connection that he or she just feels no way, no how, I'm going to visit my parents, and that's the way it is, and your son or daughter is just keeping the peace and going along because they've had fights over this. What I'm saying is you just don't want to add to the complication. You want to be the more easygoing grandparent, the more easygoing parent. That's what you want to be. You want to be the one that is viewed as not giving anybody grief over the fact that they're not measuring out the time equitably. That's what you want to be. You can only win in the long run.
Oh, Dr. Ray.
Only win in the long run. How many years? It's been 8 years now, and it's been equitable, inequitable every year. Well, I guess that's telling you something. Now, I'm going to close with perhaps some really bad news here. I talked about this in the grandparent book. I'm not going to pull my punches. You always got to look at yourself and say, is there a reason in my personality, in remarks I make, in my pushiness, in whatever it is about my style that is unpleasant, that makes it less easy to visit me over the holidays? Now, you may say to yourself, I don't think so. Well, you want to be gutsy about this? You ask your spouse. You say to your spouse, please level with me. Is part of the reason why we get 26% of the holiday time because of any way that I am? Now, if your spouse gets that look on his or her face of terror that essentially says, I'm not answering that question, there is no way, no how, am I answering that one? Then you know. It would do you well. It would do me well to always look at myself and say, is there something about me, about my way, about my words, about my style, about my easygoing, whatever it might be, that makes it much more pleasant for them to spend more time somewhere else than at my place? Now, back when we had 10 kids at home, we didn't see as much of my parents. And it wasn't until a few years later that my mom confessed the reason. She says, Ray, your house doesn't smell good. I said, Ma, I can't put them outside during Christmas. There's 10 of them. They're all under 12. They just smell that way. Then she said, well, get a hamster or a pig or something to counter the smell. So what I did is I put gym shoes out in each of the rooms, and that did help. I'm Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere.
Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in downtown Detroit in Greektown invites all to the monthly First Friday High Mass in the Tridentine form. Experience the authentic Catholic traditional Latin Mass, including the church's rich musical tradition of Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. Please join us this Friday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. Free and guarded parking in the church's lot and a reception in the parish center follows the Mass. For more details, visit oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation present The Star, the fully animated story of the first Christmas, told through a whole new set of eyes. Bo the donkey and his stable of animal friends follow the star to become some unlikely heroes.
That light, that's the star.
This is where it's been leading me.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
The Star, in theaters November 17th. More information is available at thestarmovie.com.
I am not comfortable with psychobabble. I can't go with that on this program. So I don't want to hear where you're coming from. Although I can understand and empathize. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In, the TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, on EWTN Global Catholic Television, Saturday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern. Rerun on Tuesday, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern, and Friday, 5 a.m. Eastern. They figure by the time Friday rolls around, the third time it's shown, it's pretty pathetic, so we'll just hide it somewhere. Also, one last time I'll make this announcement. I'm going to Edgerton, Kentucky, which is just near Cincinnati. So those of you down there with our Catholic affiliate, 740, AM 740. Down there in Cincinnati, be heading to St. Pius X. It's a couple of morning talks, parenting and marriage. Some of the marriage talk overlaps with the parenting talk. I tell the ladies, you know, use some of these techniques with husbands. Of course, you have to pretty much do the preschool section. Put the toilet seat down. Don't eat like a heathen. Use your manners. No, that shirt does not go with that sweater. That kind of stuff. So if you want to head there, it's on my website, drray.com. Betsy's the contact. I made the mistake of putting Betsy's cell number up there. She says she'd be getting some cell calls. The only reason I'm announcing this is because we got 9 people coming, and I'm hoping to kick it up to about 15. Okay, but it'll be a very intimate crowd. Let's go to Monica. We're talking about forced teaming here. Monica from Indiana is apparently aware of De Becker's book, The Gift of Fear. He was here and a couple others, too. Hi, Monica.
Hello.
How are you familiar with this book?
I read it a few years back, and it really struck me, some of the stories in it. But one story that stuck with me more than anything else was a story, if this is the same book, and I'm thinking it is, where he describes a young woman who was attacked by a man who was very friendly, clean-cut, because she was polite. She didn't...
He called it forced teaming. In other words, she dropped all of her stuff, and he was helping her pick it all up and say, no, we can do this together, and that's, yes.
Exactly. Yes, and he got up to her apartment, pushed his way in because she was afraid. And I used to work at a placement for teenagers, and I worked with teenage girls, troubled youth, girls that had a lot of bad upbringings, neglectful parenting, girls that had, you know, bad things happen to them. They didn't have a good judge of characters and things, and I had a lot of things because of not saying no to strangers or whatever. They didn't seem to have that. I don't know the strong nature in themselves, or the strong.
They weren't assertive. They were more taking the victim role, that just sort of vulnerable. They were vulnerable.
Very vulnerable, and it was so sad. And I would try to talk to them because I was aware of these things. And then my parents always, you know, I was blessed to have good parents, and they always kind of put that, you know, sometimes the fear went overboard, but you know, of what could happen if you do this. You need to be. I tried to talk to the girls about you can be polite, but you don't have to accept. You know, this, you don't have to accept that somebody wants to come into your home. You know, you need to be assertive and not worry about hurting feelings. And that really, listen to that story about
the power to refuse.
the power to refuse and what, but I kind of, then I started thinking about it, and is there things in our childhood, are there things that have happened to us that can make us completely drop our fear and not have fear, even though they, these girls did have fear. So anyway, I can, if you have any thoughts on that, I can go off air and you can talk about it or anything.
Well, thanks, Monica. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for
okay,
the call.
No problem.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have thoughts on that. My daughter Mary is soon to be 21 years old. She has had a history of having to be in group homes for a mental disorder. And there was a period of time there where she struggled with her medication. And she was essentially exactly what Monica was describing. She did get in cars with people she didn't know. The sense of fear, the sense of judgment was gone. Hopefully that has come back as we've stabilized Mary. So I'm, from a father's perspective, very up close and personal familiar with that. It would be a fascinating pondering on what it is in the American mindset, in the way children are raised, that helpfulness, and this was one of the points in De Becker's book, was that oftentimes situations that came to a very, very ugly end or would have come to an ugly end began with what he called forced teaming. In other words, let me help you with that. Oh, no, I insist. Oh, no, let's do this together. Oh, no, that's way too heavy for you. Let me carry this to your car for you. Oh, I see you're having trouble trying to manage those two children. Let me wheel this cart. Now, it's sad that what at one time in our culture would have been a much, much more likely friendly response. And I got that. And fortunately, I think still the vast majority of those responses are friendly. Nevertheless, if you sense your instincts tell you something just makes me uneasy about this situation, then please do not allow some sense of I've got to be nice. I've got to be Christian nice to this person who is pushing.
There's something called intuition. They used to think that intuition was just a vague, it had no real basis in anything other than a kind of a gut. You couldn't put any substance to it. And they say that women have more intuition than men. Now they come to understand, and this is one of the points in De Becker's book. Our brains take in a massive amount of information, an unbelievable amount of sensory input. We obviously cannot attend to all of it. If you did, you'd go crazy. Everything's coming in from every direction. But our brains process a lot of this information below the conscious level. Now, I'm not getting into subconscious Freudian stuff. I'm simply saying that our attention span to all of this is not at the same level. We normally attend just to one thing. Like right now, you're listening to my voice, but there's stuff all around you occurring. And your brain knows how to sort it out. So you can attend, well, not to my voice. You probably don't want to do that. But you want to attend to the kid in the back seat who's smashing brownies into his sister's sweater. Intuition seems to be a product of experience and a product of this sensory information coming in that essentially can warn you of a dangerous situation. It's like the fireman who, he's had 23 years of experience, and he walks into a building, and he just has this terrible sense of foreboding, and he tells the guys, get out, get out, get out. And within seconds, the roof collapses. How did he know that? He didn't hear the sound of the timbers creaking. Something registered below his sensory awareness. Call it intuition, call it gut sense, but it's real. And the point that De Becker was making in the book
is that for women especially, because you guys are much more socially attuned and socially aware than we guys are. He was saying, trust your gut. And that's, he summarized it as gut, but really it's your sense of what's going on. And he offers many examples of women getting themselves out of danger, serious, fatal type dangers, because they sensed something was not quite right here. Just something bothered them. There was something in the circumstances. Maybe the way that car was parked. Maybe the way there was a van sitting a little too close to her parked car and she didn't want to get in on the driver's side because that van sliding door was right there. Something sent off warning bells for her. And I'll admit it, the ladies are much better at this than we guys are. You take in all kinds of things. You are aware. It's something about the female persona, the female wiring. Okay, when we come back, what do you do? What do you do if your kid watches a movie and imitates the movie, but in a kind of odd way?
Understand the immense unconditional love that God the Father has for His daughters at the upcoming Lansing Diocese Catholic Women's Conference. This conference will help to reveal the true and perfect image of our Heavenly Father. It's Saturday, November 4th at the Lansing Center. The day includes Mass with Bishop Boyer, along with opportunities for reconciliation and adoration. Go to LansingDioceseCWC.org to register and to find out more information. That's LansingDioceseCWC.org.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investment funds that are designed and screened to be pro-life and pro-family. Six different Ave Maria Mutual Funds are available to help you reach your long-term investment objectives, smart investing, and Catholic values. The number to learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds is 866-AVE-MARIA. That's 866-283-6274 or at AveMariaFunds.com.
All Souls Day, November 2nd, and Cemetery Sunday, November 5th, are days when the Church remembers those who have died. The Catholic Cemetery Conference invites you to make one of these days special by visiting the Catholic cemetery where your loved ones are buried. While there, offer a personal prayer at this sacred place, blessed and set aside as their final resting place. Your remembrance of them will bring you peace and comfort. For the location of your local Catholic cemetery, please go to cemeterysunday.org.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by Transdermal Therapeutics, a compounds pharmacy specializing in topical, non-opioid, non-addictive pain relief. Transdermal offers pure encapsulations nutritional supplements for men's, women's, and children's health. All ingredients are tested for purity and potency by independent certified laboratories. All supplements are non-GMO, hypoallergenic, gluten-free, and manufactured in the U.S. More information at transdermalinc.com or at 877-581-5444.
What the heck am I doing to myself? This is ridiculous. Who was that guy? Gentlemen, gentlemen. Remember the Three Stooges? Well, probably you don't watch the Three Stooges, but that was a great passage in my life. When my wife allowed me and the boys to watch the Three Stooges. Yeah, they had to be 24, but she wouldn't allow me to watch them at all. And frequently, they would say to Mo, Larry, and Curly, gentlemen, gentlemen! And, of course, they'd look all around them looking for gentlemen. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is Look Back Friday, where we take previous calls, and I get to talk more about them, because I want to say more. I could just do one Look Back call for the whole show. That would be, for me, for you guys would be boring, but for me, I'd get to say a lot. Jacob from Tennessee has a son who's watched a movie, and this movie influenced the young strapling to imitate, I'm going to assume, one of the main characters in the movie. Was it a superhero? Was it the Hulk? Well, let's see who the boy picked. How old's your son, Jacob?
He's 5 years old.
5. I was going to guess 4. Now, you don't live near a fire hydrant, do you?
I actually do live by quite a few fire hydrants.
Okay.
So, I'm not traditionally an anti-vaxxer. I've always believed in vaccines. I'm vaccinated. But a week ago, I got my 5-year-old son's immunizations, and it went well. He's always been very well behaved. And this week, he's just been acting really, really strange, and I think it has something to do with those vaccines. A couple days ago, we rented the movie Space Pups from the Redbox machine, and it went well. He enjoyed the movie, but the next morning, he wouldn't stop acting like a dog. He would drink out of our dog's water bowl. He would try to eat the dog's kibble. He wouldn't talk to me. He'd only bark at me. We'd have guests over. He tried to bite at the guest's legs.
Did you discipline him for this stuff?
No, I didn't discipline him. I've just been wildly confused. He went to his mother's house a couple days ago. We're divorced. We got divorced last year, and it went surprisingly well. He took it well. And not my idea, but she showed him the movie Team America, you know, the one about Kim Jong-il and that. And now he won't stop acting like Kim Jong-il.
Well, first of all, let me weigh in on the vaccine. Highly, highly unlikely vaccine had anything to do with any of this. Many, many other possible explanations, not the least of which, it sounds like his mother's more permissive than you are, and he's getting older, and she's maybe exposing him to things that are confusing him, and the fact that you were reluctant to stop him from biting people's leg. It's a good thing he didn't pee on their leg. That would have been even worse. So, first of all, stop him and say to him, by the way, you have to speak because I don't understand dog talk. So whatever he barks, you just say, well, I can't give you what you want. I don't even know what you're saying. I would definitely discipline him for drinking out of the dog's bowl, stand him in the corner, because that's not exactly a good... Yeah, you don't want to... Oh, geez, that's even worse. Andrew, not even going to say it. Dogs drink out of other places, too, Jacob. So, given that, my guess would be this is a quirky period in your little young guy's life. You got two different parenting styles, most likely, which would make it that these little oddities are more likely to occur. I think temporally, the relationship between his acting kind of quirky like this and a vaccine is just a connection by time and nothing else. It should go away. If you take a firm stand on it, you can even stand him in the corner and say, well, son, when you're ready to be a human and not a dog, you come on out.
I never asked the critical question. You know, what kind of dog? Some dogs are just easier to get along with than others. You know, some are more high-strung. Some are quieter. Some just bark at everything. All right. People are going to say, Dr. Ray, why do you make light of these things? Well, kids are quirky. They come up with all kinds of goofy things that they do and they say growing up. They just do. Parents get unsettled over quirky stuff because they infuse it with meaning. In other words, this is psychologically weird. Maybe something's wrong with my kid. What could be percolating inside his little psyche that would make him do this or say this or think this? I've been at this a long time. You get a pretty broad perspective of what kids, I guess I could say what people, now some kids are people, they are capable of. I cannot tell you how many parents have asked me about some piece of oddity that their kid has done that they can't explain. In this case, think about it. He not only is imitating the dogs, but he was imitating Kim Jong-il, the dad of Kim Jong-un. It sounds like this little guy has a proclivity to latch on to something that he sees. So the more important lesson here for Jason would be very, very careful about what he sees. Because, at least at this age, at age 4, he might not do this at age 7, but at age 4,
he's particularly susceptible to imbibing mimicry. Does that mean this little guy's got a nut loose up there? Not at all. It just means that at age four, he ran with the dog theme. Now, somebody said, I said, Jason, you disciplining him? One might think, well, Dr. Ray, he's not doing anything wrong. Well, yes, he is. Took it out of a dog's bowl. He's biting people. That's wrong. And this kid could be a lot slicker than we think, by the way. Do you know that? Think about this. If he's got his dad convinced that this is some kind of psychological oddity, this eccentricity that's happening, and dad is flummoxed. He said he was. And I don't know how to interpret it. So if the little guy would have bit somebody's leg in the middle of a temper fit, then Jason would have done something about it. But because he did it in the middle of a dog imitation, Jason didn't do anything. This could... You know what? You know what I'm thinking? This kid could be smarter than Lassie. You think about it. Maybe even Rin Tin Tin. No, the lesson here is that kid quirks are all over the place. And only when they are prolonged, and only when they are in the context of a lot of other stuff, do you say to yourself, I got to take a deeper look at this. I got to find out what my role is in this. I got to find out what exactly could be happening within this kid's temperament or what experiences he's having that would bring this stuff out. But a quirk in and of itself, an isolated, circumscribed quirk, an oddity, in an otherwise pretty normal little kid, doesn't mean much. Okay, when we come back, let's see who we're going to go to. Okay. We got Jen from New York. She's got a rather typical problem. Her sister is remarrying. I guess she's Catholic, but I guess she's also divorced, or at least the person she's remarrying, so she must have been divorced. Jen's saying, oh boy.
In 1916, Auto Owners Insurance teamed up with local independent agents so customers could get fast, friendly, local service. It worked so well, we decided to keep it that way. And 100 years later, we still do things the same way. By teaming up with local independent agents who deliver quality, personal service.
Thank you.
Some might call that old school. But then again, maybe everything old is new again. Kind of refreshing, isn't it?
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
First Presbyterian Church in Ann Arbor presents Requiem by John Rutter. Choirs and chamber orchestra share the Ages Latin text interspersed with biblical text in English on Sunday, November 5th at 3 p.m. at the church at 1432 Washington Avenue in Ann Arbor. There's no admission charge. For more information, visit firstpresbyterian.org or call 734-662-4466.
Affirm Films and Sony Pictures Animation present The Star, the fully animated story of the first Christmas, told through a whole new set of eyes. Bo the donkey and his stable of animal friends follow the star to become some unlikely heroes.
That light, that's the star.
This is where it's been leading me.
What's his name?
His name is Jesus.
The Star, in theaters November 17th. More information is available at thestarmovie.com.
Trained to read minds. Able to connect across vast distances over mountain ranges, fruited plains. Bilocuting. Talking with two cities at the same time. It's Dr. Ray Guarendi. I thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. This is Look Back Friday.
where we look back at calls. And then I get to say more about them because I always want to say more about them. And that is probably the hardest part of doing this program, is essentially shutting my mouth and moving on to the next call. A couple of communication things here between men and women. What he said to his wife: my mother is coming over for dinner. What she heard him saying: anything less than absolute perfection will make you an utter failure as a wife and mother in her eyes. What she said: tell me the truth, honey. Do I look fat in this? What he heard: I'm going to make you wish you were toast for the rest of the week, no matter how you answer. And you better not hesitate either, you know. But when you get those kind of questions and you hesitate before you give a good response, you're dead. You can't hesitate. Honey, am I just as nice as I ever was at the very beginning of our marriage? And you pause for a second and a half and you say, absolutely. Forget it. Forget it. You paused. I'm going to do a psychological experiment. You know, back when I was in grad school, we always used to look for different things to study. I would study the delay time that a person gives to a trick question before they give what they think is a response that will get them out of trouble, but the delay time. How much delay time actually will cause you trouble? My suspicion is you can't hesitate. You know, do you think I'm letting the kids be brats? No. Yeah, you throw an in there, it's over. Jen from New York has a sister who is remarrying and without an annulment. The sister, I presume, is Catholic, or at least kind of was until one of the more definitive church teachings got in the way.
My sister, older sister, she's 51, and she's getting married after being divorced for about 17 years to a Catholic man who's never been married. And I've made the decision that I can't go to the wedding because she's chosen to get married in a ceremony that's as close to Catholic as possible, but it isn't, obviously. And she's not seeking an annulment. She thinks she's not even talking to a priest about it. So, and I don't have the kind of relationship where I can encourage her and explain why an annulment would be the right thing.
My dear, I don't think it has anything to do with you explaining, because even if you explained it, she just doesn't agree. It's not a matter that you could say, here's the reason, here's the rationale, here's the thinking, and she'll say, oh, well, you know, I hadn't thought of that. I think she just doesn't want to wait, and she doesn't like the idea that there's this church that presumes to tell her how to run her life as she sees it, correct?
I think you're right. It definitely stems from that, but it's also because she's just always right. I mean, she's always right about everything, and it's bizarre because she's a really nice person. She's a great doctor, but she has this, I don't know, it's something I've struggled with her in my relationship.
Where is she getting married? What kind of ceremony?
It's in this former Catholic church that was closed, which has its own history, that their tagline is, a day to remember, create your own wedding ceremony without a religious affiliation.
Okay, so this is just your basic generic, I want to get married on according to my ceremonial terms kind of thing.
Right. And they still go to Mass and everything, so it's like, it's... something's not connecting.
Well, it's on her terms. It's not. She's like so many people. Yeah. It's on her terms. I would say this. I've seen priests talk about both sides of this, where some will say, absolutely not. You cannot go. If she hasn't gotten a dispensation from her bishop, she hasn't written her bishop and said, hey, I'm no longer really Catholic. But see, she's not going to do that because in her mind she still is Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've seen priests say, look, you can't go. Oh, and I've seen others say, you gotta measure this. You gotta measure what it's gonna do to that relationship. She knows where you stand regarding the Catholic faith. She knows that you're obedient to it. Nevertheless, if you don't go, she'll look at you like, well, our lives together are over. Forget you. And mm-hmm. if you think it would do irreparable damage to the relationship, then you weigh it. And I've heard priests say this. Okay, priests I respect, Orthodox priests. So you've made a decision. You said, no, I can't. All right. Have you tried to explain that to her?
No, I haven't. That was my question. I was wondering, is there a way to tell her? And because she doesn't even think she doesn't even want to try for the annulment. She doesn't think she's eligible for it. And
I'd leave the annulment out of it.
Yeah.
I would leave the annulment out of it. I would basically explain to her best you can, kindest, most loving terms you can, this is why I'm not going. It's due to my belief system that I truly believe that you, as a Catholic, would be obedient to the Church and how the Church views this and views marriage, and you've decided not to. That's your prerogative. You can do that. I'm not telling mm-hmm. you're going to roast in hell, and I'm not telling you that you're an evil, wretched human being. I'm not doing that. I am just acting according to the dictates of my conscience and what I believe. One of the reasons calls get selected for look back is that there is a matter, a subject, dare I say, an issue, that a caller brings up somewhere within the call that is not at all necessarily related to the problem. It is something that they say that part of me goes, dit. In this case, it is the idea that are there ways to reason with people who don't want to be reasoned with? There is an irony in our communication mindset. Essentially says, how do we help someone to take a broader view, think a different way, look at something in a more reasonable or a more faithful, a more moral way? And the irony is that we really are not moved by reason. I have to say we're not Mr. Spock of Star Trek. We oftentimes are moved by, well, very simply, emotions, desires, wants. In this case, her sister just flat out, after 17 years, no doubt thinks, I've been alone a long time, I deserve to be happy, and I'm not going to let the Catholic Church stand in the way of my happiness on this one little thing. And everything else, I'm Catholic, so therefore, this is ridiculous. I can do what I want. Okay, then she isn't really reasoning this through. She is not saying, I am disobeying something that the Church teaches about marriage. I know I'm doing it. I understand that. And I recognize that I have simply decided to be disobedient. No. My guess would be that she's thinking, this is ridiculous that I would even have to do it their way. Well, did you hear what her sister said? She's always right. Even where she classes with the Catholic Church, she's always right. But the other thing is this. I've really learned in my life this is going to sound funny, but to pick and choose where I reason with people. If I size up that you simply are not moved by reason, by thinking, by analyzing, by logic, by being open enough to consider other parts to this particular problem or decision, then I'm not going to smack my head against a cinder block wall. It hurts. In this case, you had Jen saying, is there a way that I can make her think differently? The only reason that I could see that Jen would want to try to make her sister think differently would be if Jen felt it was a moral obligation on her part to make one last reasonable run at this whole thing. Short of that, from what she described, it doesn't sound like sister's going to budge in any way, shape, or form. There, that's a cliche. Sorry about that. Cliche city. So, given that, I probably am much more settled in the idea that her sister is immune to reason on this particular matter. Because she's not moved by reason. She's moved by will. I want. And therefore, reason isn't going to budge her. And I guess, for me, the whole point of what Jen was saying was that you can live in a lot of frustration trying to reason people into acting better or differently when it has become so very, very obvious that they are not moved by reason. They are moved by emotion. They are moved by desire. They are moved by justification. They're not moved by reason. So I oftentimes don't throw a whole lot of words at certain people in certain situations. Get my reasoning on that?
The Catholic Church stands on the shoulders of giants who shared the truth. Now it's our turn. Join Branches Catholic Ministries on November 18th for Regenerated 2017 at the Scotiabank Convention Center in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Speakers will address the most important question of our time. What is truth? Where do we find it? For the first time, Regenerated Youth will be hosted alongside the adult conference. Get tickets now at branchesoftheword.org.
Finding a doctor who respects your faith can be hard. Consider Emmaus Health, providing primary care and mental health services for the entire family. Now, in conjunction with St. Joseph Mercy Health System, Emmaus is proud to introduce Dr. Steve Hickner, an OBGYN who is NAPRO-trained to manage infertility. Call 734-930-4020. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org or come visit us at Domino's Farms Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming health care. Emmaus Health.
Detroit Catholic Central's open house is Sunday, November 5th from noon to 4 p.m. As the largest Catholic high school in the state of Michigan, CC has been educating young men in goodness, discipline, and knowledge under the care of the Bazilian Fathers since 1928. Families with boys in the 6th through 8th grades are invited to visit the campus for a tour and a taste of life as a Shamrock. Register at CatholicCentral.net, contact the admissions office, or walk up to the door on the 5th, but don't miss out.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic Radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500 or on the web at mspccpa.com.
One of the complications of Look Back Friday is that in my impulse to talk a lot more, which was really the impetus for Look Back Friday, is that I fall behind on breaks. I've only got about 2 minutes left in the program, so there's not enough time to do another call. So I'll turn to C.S. Lewis. He says this in God in the Dock. In a civilization like ours, and he's talking England, but we can extrapolate this to Western culture, U.S., I feel that everyone has to come to terms with the claims of Jesus Christ upon his life. Or else, be guilty of inattention or of evading the question. I thought about this a lot. Even in our culture, where it's very easy to explore the question of who is Jesus Christ, Very easy. People don't. Now, why is this? And I speculate that in some respects we'll be held guiltier if we don't seek the question than if we don't believe. I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's everywhere. Few people are with excuse. Few people have an excuse to say, "Well, I didn't really think about God. I didn't think about Christ. I didn't even consider the matter. I was busy living my life. Place to go, people to see, stuff to acquire." So they didn't. If I were to say to you, "Well, you know, behind that door over there, you can find out this question of the universe, question of meaning. The only question that is really going to have any consequence in the end. That's it. Is there a God and is Christ God? That's it. That's the question. It is all incumbent upon us to answer. If we don't seek to answer it, however that might be, talking to someone, reading, praying for an answer, dear God, if you're there, I want to know it. If we don't do that, maybe that's the part that we'll be accountable for. That's what Lewis seems to think, anyway. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I thank you for joining me here on this Look Back Friday. As I said, in Edgerton, Kentucky, good Lord permitting, tomorrow I'll be at St. Pius X. You want to head there, let me know in the morning, talking parenting, marriage. Check on the website, Dr. Ray, for the contact number. Betsy. Betsy's the person. Thanks, Andrew, for all the editing on the Look Back calls. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Walk with God. You got kids.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
At their September 2011 meeting, the Ladies of Heart to Heart Catholic Women's Apostolate hosted Father Ben Lucky talking about forgiveness.
No one can heal that wound but you. And so we have to recognize that it is our obligation to forgive so that we can heal that wound. During the Mass, I said that we can forgive over and over and over until the wound is healed. Well, that's exactly what we have to do, especially when we're disappointed in someone.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. On his annual visit to Heart, Father Ben Lucky taught about our obligation to forgive so that we are able to receive the Lord's healing, and how the sacrament of confession plays a key role in that healing process. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
Every one of us is going to appear before the judgment seat of God. Scripture says, in a hurry, life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. And it's very clear in Scripture, the teaching of the church, we'll all give an account before the Lord. What did we do with the gifts, the graces, the resources?